You're burning a fuel that was invented before your grandparents were born. Think about that for a second. Avgas, 100 low lead, the stuff we pump into piston engines at 60 or 70 airports you've probably flown into this month. It's basically unchanged since the 1940s. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about what might actually replace it. Not batteries, not sustainable aviation fuel, hydrogen. And before you roll your eyes, stay with me. Because the engineering has gotten very real, very fast. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've hit a milestone worth marking, first solo instrument check ride, your CFI ticket, they make aviation challenge coins that actually capture the weight of those moments. Beautifully crafted, built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's break this down. When most pilots hear about the future of propulsion, the conversation usually goes straight to batteries, electric aircraft. And look, I've covered electric on this show before, and there's real progress happening there. But batteries have a fundamental physics problem that no amount of Silicon Valley optimism can engineer away. It's called energy density, jet fuel and avgas store, roughly 43 times more energy per kilogram than the best lithium-ion batteries available today. 43 times. That's not a gap you close with a better chemistry in 5 years. That's a canyon. So what do you do if you want zero carbon emissions at the tailpipe, but you also want to fly farther than 100 nautical miles? You look at hydrogen. Here's the basic concept. A hydrogen fuel cell takes hydrogen gas, combines it with oxygen from the air, and produces two things: electricity and water. That's it. No combustion, no carbon dioxide, no nitrogen oxides. The electricity drives an electric motor, which spins a propeller. The exhaust is water vapor. It's elegant from a chemistry standpoint. Now, hydrogen's energy density by weight is actually incredible. About 3 times better than jet fuel per kilogram. The catch, and this is a big catch, is that hydrogen is the lightest element in the universe. So even though each kilogram packs a huge energy punch, you need enormous volume to store enough of it. A kilogram of hydrogen at atmospheric pressure would fill a room in your house, so you have to compress it, usually to about 700 bar, that's around 10,000 psi, or liquefy it at negative 253 degrees Celsius. Either way, the tanks are heavy, bulky, and expensive. This is the core engineering trade-off: great energy per unit mass, terrible energy per unit volume. And in an airplane, both mass and volume matter. So, who's actually building this? The company that's gotten the most attention is ZeroAvia. They're based in Hollister, California, and they've been flight testing hydrogen electric powertrains since 2020. Their founder, Val Miftikov, is a former physics researcher who came out of the tech world, and he's been laser-focused on a specific market segment. Regional turboprops think the Dash 8, the ATR-72 aircraft, that fly routes of 300 to 500 nautical miles with 40 to 80 passengers. ZeroAvia's approach is a retrofit. They're not designing a new airframe. They're replacing the existing turboprop engine with a hydrogen fuel cell powertrain that bolts onto the same mounting points. Their first demonstrator was a Piper M-Class, a 6-seat piston single. They flew it in September of 2020 in Cranfield, England. That was a proof of concept. Since then, they've moved up to a 19-seat Dornier 228 twin. They completed a taxi test, and then a flight test of a single hydrogen powertrain on one side, with the conventional engine still on the other, in early 2023. And by late 2025, they had accumulated significant ground run and flight test hours on their 600-kilowatt system, which is their pathway to certifying what they call the ZA-600. Here's what most people miss about ZeroAvia's strategy. They're not trying to boil the ocean. They picked the regional segment deliberately because the flights are short enough that hydrogen storage volume is manageable, and the economics of turboprop operations mean fuel is a massive percentage of operating cost. If you can cut fuel cost even modestly while also eliminating carbon emissions, the business case writes itself for airlines facing increasing carbon regulation, especially in Europe. But ZeroAvia isn't alone. Universal Hydrogen, which was founded by Paul Eremenko, took a completely different approach. Instead of compressing or liquefying hydrogen on site at airports, they design modular hydrogen capsules. Think of them like cargo containers, but for hydrogen. The capsules get loaded into the rear fuselage of a regional aircraft, a De Havilland Dash 8400 in their case, and they connect directly to the fuel cell system. When the capsules are empty, you swap them out for full ones. No airport hydrogen infrastructure needed. The logistics network replaces the fueling network. Now, I should be transparent here. Universal Hydrogen filed for bankruptcy in mid-2024 after struggling to secure additional funding. That's a cautionary tale about the gap between great engineering ideas and commercial viability. The technology worked. Their Dash 8 demonstrator, called Lightning McLean, actually flew in March of 2023 in Moses Lake, Washington. It was the largest hydrogen fuel cell-powered aircraft to fly at that point. But the capital requirements to take a demonstrator to a certified product are enormous, and the timeline to revenue was too long for their investors. That failure doesn't invalidate the technology. It validates how hard the certification and commercialization path is. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got Airbus. They announced their Zero concept in September of 2020, showing three hydrogen aircraft configurations, a turbofan, a turboprop, and a blended wing body. Their target is entry into service by 2035. Now, Airbus has the engineering depth, the certification expertise, and the balance sheet to actually pull this off. But 2035 is still a long way out, and Airbus is exploring both hydrogen combustion, literally burning hydrogen in a modified gas turbine, and hydrogen fuel cells. Those are fundamentally different approaches with different engineering challenges. Burning hydrogen in a turbine is closer to what we do today. You modify the combustor, you change the fuel system, and you deal with the fact that hydrogen burns much hotter and faster than kerosene. The advantage is you keep the existing turbine architecture, which is mature and well understood. The disadvantage is you still produce nitrogen oxides at high combustion temperatures, and you still have the storage volume problem. Fuel cells, on the other hand, are quieter, more efficient at converting chemical energy to useful work, and produce genuinely zero harmful emissions. But they're heavier per unit of power output than a gas turbine, and they don't scale as well to large aircraft. A fuel cell powertrain that works for a 19-seater is very different from one that could power a single aisle jet carrying 180 passengers. So let's talk about what this means for general aviation, because I know a lot of you listening are flying Cessna 172s and Piper Cherokees, not Dash 8s. The honest answer is that hydrogen fuel cells for light GA aircraft are further out. The storage tanks for compressed hydrogen are heavy relative to the useful load of a four-seat airplane. You're looking at giving up baggage space, passenger capacity, or range, probably all three. For a 200-horsepower piston single, the math is tough today, but there's an interesting middle ground that some companies are exploring. Hydrogen as a range extender for battery electric aircraft. You carry a smaller battery for takeoff and climb, where you need peak power, and then a small fuel cell system that generates steady cruise power and recharges the battery in flight. This hybrid approach plays to the strengths of both technologies. Batteries are great at delivering bursts of high power. Fuel cells are great at delivering steady, efficient power over long periods. The other piece of this puzzle is infrastructure. Today, there is essentially no hydrogen fueling infrastructure at airports. Zero, none. Building it requires either on-site electrolysis, using electricity to split water into hydrogen and oxygen, or trucking in compressed or liquefied hydrogen. Either way, you need storage, you need dispensing equipment, you need safety protocols. Airports are already complex, regulated environments. Adding high-pressure hydrogen to the ramp is not trivial. This is actually where the universal hydrogen capsule concept was so clever. By making hydrogen portable and swappable, you sidestep the entire airport infrastructure problem. The hydrogen gets produced at a central facility, loaded into capsules, and shipped via existing freight networks. It's the propane tank exchange model applied to aviation fuel. The data tells an interesting story about the overall trajectory. Global investment in hydrogen aviation exceeded $2 billion between 2020 and 2025. The European Union's Clean Aviation Joint Undertaking has funded multiple hydrogen demonstrator programs. The United Kingdom's Aerospace Technology Institute has backed ZeroAvia and others with hundreds of millions in grants. And the FAA has been working on developing certification standards for hydrogen fuel systems in aircraft, which is a necessary precondition for any of this reaching the market. The realistic timeline? For regional aircraft, 9 to 19 seats, I'd say 2029 to 2032, for limited commercial operations, assuming ZeroAvia or a competitor achieves type certification. For larger regional aircraft in the 40 to 80 seat class, probably 2033 to 2037. For single aisle jets, the Airbus class, 2035 at the absolute earliest, and I'd bet on 2040 being more realistic. For GA, if hydrogen fuel cells reach the certified regional market successfully, the technology will eventually trickle down, but we're probably looking at the late 2030s before you see a certified hydrogen powertrain option for something like a Cessna 408 or a new clean sheet four-seater. In the meantime, the AVGAS replacement that's most likely to hit your local FBO first is unleaded fuel. The FAA approved GAMI's G100UL as a universal replacement for 100 low lead in September of 2022, and the rollout has been agonizingly slow, but is actually happening. That's the bridge fuel. Hydrogen is the destination, maybe if the engineering, the economics, and the infrastructure all converge. And that's the honest assessment. Hydrogen aviation isn't hype. The physics work, the chemistry works. Several aircraft have actually flown on hydrogen fuel cells. But the gap between a flying demonstrator and a certified, commercially viable, infrastructure-supported product is where most aerospace revolutions go to die. The companies and governments putting billions into this believe the gap can be crossed. History suggests it will take longer and cost more than anyone currently projects. That's where we stand. Much of today's segment drew from ZeroAvia's published flight test data and press materials, the European Union's Clean Aviation Research Program documentation, and reporting by Graham Warwick at Aviation Week. If you want to dig deeper, those are your starting points. Everything we talk about on Clear Direct Lives at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. Keep asking how things work. I'll see you next time.